Clancy with me and went in my room. I took my Buzz Lightyear flashlight from my nightstand drawer and went through the bathroom in Andy's room, trying to walk very quiet, because our floors are old wood, so they squeak when you walk on them. And I didn't want Daddy and Grandma downstairs to know I got out of bed. I flashed Buzz up to Andy's top bunk. Empty. Then I went in Andy's closet and sat down on his sleeping bag. The flashlight made a little light circle in the dark closet, and I made zigzag patterns with the circle on the walls, and shirts and jackets. I lay down on the sleeping bag and put my legs up against the wall, and that was comfy. I put Buzz down next to me and Clancy on my chest, and I crossed my hands under my head for a pillow. Right away I felt like I wanted to whisper again. "Okay, bad thoughts, go in the safe." I thought about the bad thoughts like they were little people in my brain, marching to where the safe was in my brain. "Slam the door. That's it, and don't come back out." It worked. I laid there like that for a while, and thought about Mommy and about if she was coming home tomorrow. Then I got sleepy and went back in Daddy's bed. Then, in the middle of the night, the gunman came back. Pop, pop, pop. I sat up and it was too dark. I couldn't see anything. I only heard the pop sounds in my ears. Pop, pop, pop. Pop, pop, pop. Over and over again. Were they far away or close? I pressed my hands on my ears as hard as I could, but I could still hear them. Pop, pop, pop. I could hear sounds coming out of my mouth, but I should have been quiet so the gunman couldn't find me and shoot me. No! 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 Screaming sounds were coming out of my mouth, and I couldn't stop them. A hand touched me, and I didn't know where it came from. But then I heard Daddy's voice. "Zach, it's okay. It's okay." A light went on, and I still made screaming sounds. I couldn't help it because the gunman was back. How did he get in our house? Now he was going to shoot us, and we would have blood everywhere and be dead like Andy. Daddy said, "It's not real. You're having a bad dream," a lot of times, and I stopped screaming. But I was still scared, and my breathing went in and out too fast, and the pop sounds were still in my ears like an echo. "You're fine. You're okay," Daddy said. The next time I woke up, it was morning, and I didn't remember when I went back to sleep after I heard the pop sounds, or when Daddy got up, because he wasn't on his side of the bed anymore. I found him downstairs, sitting in the kitchen again, and he was staring in his coffee cup. He still didn't shave, and his beard was getting longer. I went to him and sat on his lap, and I watched what Grandma and Aunt Mary were doing. They had our photo albums out and were taking out pictures, mostly of Andy, and some of all of the family. They talked in quiet voices and wiped some tears off their faces, but sometimes they laughed a little about all the silly faces Andy was making in the pictures. "What are you doing?" I asked. I didn't think Mommy was going to like that they were taking pictures out of the albums, because photo albums are special, and you should wash your hands before you touch them, and you should turn the pages carefully, so you don't make any wrinkles in the thin paper in between the pages.
"Oh, we need to pick out some pictures for the..." Grandma said, and Aunt Mary interrupted her and said, "We just have to borrow a few of these. We'll put them back after." "Hey, look at this one." Aunt Mary turned the photo album around and pointed at a picture. "Do you remember where this was?"
"On the cruise," I said. The picture had all of us in it. Me, Mommy, Daddy, Andy, and also Uncle Chip and Aunt Mary and Grandma. We all had on the big hats called sombreros that we bought in the gift shop on the cruise ship. In the summer before I started kindergarten, we all went on a big cruise ship together when Grandma turned 70, and we did a special family trip to celebrate. It was a lot of fun on the ship. It had a big pool right on top of the ship with water slides. There were a ton of restaurants where they had all kinds of different foods, and they were open all day long, so you could just eat, eat, eat all the time. The ship made a lot of stops on different days in Mexico. I looked at the picture next to the one Aunt Mary pointed at. It was also from the cruise, but it was just of me, Mommy, Daddy, and Andy. All four of us are laughing really hard in the picture, and it made me smile to think about why. Because it was when they had a special Mexican party on the boat, and they had a contest to see what family could eat the most spicy things. At first, the foods we had to eat weren't very spicy, but then they gave us spicier ones, and we still tried to eat them, even though our mouths were on fire and we had tears coming out of our eyes. We tried to drink lots of water, but that didn't help at all. In the picture, Mommy is laughing and she has her eyes squeezed shut tight. Daddy is looking at her from the side, laughing also. And me and Andy are sitting in front of them holding up long red peppers. We didn't end up eating those. They were way too spicy.
That was a fun time, wasn't it? Aunt Mary said, and her voice sounded different. When I looked up to see why her voice sounded like that, she was still smiling, but she was also crying again.
We should probably get going with these, Grandma said, and held up a stack of pictures. She picked up her bag from the counter to put them inside. Aunt Mary closed the album with the cruise pictures and ripped off a piece of paper towel to wipe off the tears from her face. Then she followed Grandma toward the kitchen door. I leaned back against Daddy on the bar stool.
Daddy? I said.
Yes, Daddy said behind me.
Did the gunman come in our house last night?
Grandma and Aunt Mary both turned back around when I said that.
No, Bud, you had a nightmare, Daddy said. The gunman is not coming to our house, okay?
The way he said it sounded like I asked a stupid question. Like, duh.
But what if he does come and shoots us, like Andy?
Grandma walked back toward us, and she took my hands and held them tight.
Zack, the gunman can't hurt you anymore, or anyone else, because he's dead, she said. I think it's important that you know that. There's no need to be afraid anymore. The police killed him. Then I remember the policeman at the church said that. I just forgot.
He was a bad guy, right? I asked.
Yes, he was. He did a very bad thing, Grandma answered.
Did the gunman's soul fly up to heaven, too? Will they try to hurt Andy's soul there?
Oh, goodness, Zack, no! Heaven is for the souls of good people. The souls of bad people go somewhere else.
13. You can't be here.
I was in my bathroom brushing my teeth after breakfast when I heard voices from downstairs in the hallway. Daddy's voice and another voice. And at first I thought it was Grandma or Aunt Mary, and maybe they came back from where they went with the pictures. I heard Daddy say, "You can't be here. You... I'm sorry." I heard the woman's voice making crying sounds, or choking. I walked over to the stairs and tried not to make the floor squeak, because I wanted to see who Daddy said can't be here. The woman's voice was from Ricky's mom. She was in the hallway by the front door, leaning with her back against it, and Daddy was standing right in front of her. Ricky's mom had both of her hands up, and Daddy was holding her wrists. She was crying, and it made her whole face wet, and the front of her shirt. Or maybe that was from the rain. She had only a t-shirt on, and her arms looked very white and skinny.
"Jim, please, don't do this to me," Ricky's mom said. "Jim, please."
She said that over and over, and I didn't know what she was asking Daddy not to do. Maybe she didn't want him to hold her wrists like that.
"I am completely alone."
She did a big choking sound when she said that, and a big thing of snot came flinging out of her nose and went all the way down to her mouth, and that was really gross. Daddy let go of her wrists, and she wiped her nose with her arm like she was a little kid. Then she started to slide down the front door, kind of in slow motion, like she got too tired to stand up. And she sat down right in front of the door. She cried and cried. I could only hear it, not see it, because Daddy was standing in front of her.
"Nancy," Daddy said in a quiet voice, "I'm sorry, I really am. I wish I could..."
Daddy didn't finish his sentence, and Ricky's mom didn't say anything back. All she did was sit there in front of our door and cry.
"Nancy," Daddy said again, "please."
He leaned forward and touched her cheek, and then I could see her again. We both agreed that we needed to end this.
We both agreed that it's better this way, didn't we? Ricky's mom grabbed Daddy's hand with her hands, and she put her face on his hand, and her tears and snot were probably getting all over his hand, but he didn't take his hand back. Nancy, Zack is upstairs, and my mother and Mary will be back soon. I'm sorry. Please, you have to go, Daddy said. No, Ricky's mom said, and she looked up at Daddy. No, I have to be with you. I need you. How am I supposed to? And she started to cry harder and louder, but she kept staring at Daddy. He's dead, she said, and she stretched out the word like, dead. Ricky, oh my God, Ricky, my... What am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? Ricky died from the gunman like Andy, but Ricky's mom wasn't in the hospital because of the shock like Mommy. She came here, in our house, and she said she had to be with Daddy and was holding onto his hand like it belonged to her. I didn't like that, and I didn't know why he let her do that. I wanted her to let go of Daddy's hand, so I started to go down the stairs. When Daddy heard my steps, he pulled his hand away and turned around to me fast. Ricky's mom tried to stand up and banged her head against the door handle. Zack, Daddy said, and then he stared at me like he thought I was going to say something, but I didn't. Nancy, Mrs. Brooks is here, Daddy said like I was blind or something, because she was standing right there. I stared at Daddy and Ricky's mom. Ricky's mom's face was very white, like the skin on her arms. Except there was a lot of red around her eyes, and even inside her eyes it was red instead of the white. Her eyes were very blue, like the bluest eyes I've ever seen. Her long hair was wet, and it was stuck to her face and her neck. Through her wet T-shirt I could see two pointy circles from her boobs, and I couldn't look away from them. I'm going, she said, and turned around and grabbed the door handle. But she couldn't open the door because she didn't know you have to press it all the way down hard. Here, I'll... Daddy stretched his hand out to open the door for her, and his arm touched against her pointy boob circles. He tried to open the door, but Ricky's mom was standing right in front of it, so they both had to move backward, and they bumped into each other. When Daddy got the door opened, Ricky's mom walked down the front steps from our porch. I walked closer to the door to stand next to Daddy. We watched how Ricky's mom took little steps, like the walkway was slippery from the rain, and it was hard for her to walk on it. Then she turned on the sidewalk and walked down our road toward where her house is, and she didn't turn around once. 14. Where did you go? Mommy got changed into a different person at the hospital. She came home after 3 sleeps, and she looked different and acted different, too. Mommy always looks pretty, even in the mornings when she first wakes up. She has long brown hair that's very straight and shiny, and it's the same color as mine. We also have the same eyes, hazel. That's like a few colors mixed together, like a brownish green. And I like that me and Mommy are the only ones in the family who have the same hair color and eyes. Mommy says I have the same temperament as her, too. That means when you act the same, and I think she's right about that. We both don't like it when there's all the fighting. I know that because sometimes when Mommy has a fight with Andy or Daddy, she cries, so I know it makes her sad. Mommy says we're both people-pleasers. That's when you want other people around you to feel good. With Andy, a lot of people say he's the perfect mix in between Mommy and Daddy, but I think he looks like Daddy. Same hair color, blonde, and same tallness. They're both really good at sports, and I think they also have the same temperament, because Daddy can get the bad temper sometimes, too, and that's probably why Andy has it. When Mommy came home from the hospital, her hair was all mixed up in the back, and not straight and shiny. She walked in the house, and Mimi walked next to her. It looked like she had to hold Mommy up or she was going to fall down. Mommy walked very slow, like she was very tired, even though Daddy said all she did was sleep at the hospital. So that's why we couldn't go see her, because she wouldn't be awake anyway. Before Mimi brought Mommy in the house, Daddy said I had to give her some space and I wasn't allowed to bother her right away. and I thought that wasn't fair because I didn't see her for 3 sleeps, and I really missed her. But when she came in and looked all changed, I felt shy around her, so I did what Daddy said, gave her space. Mommy had the same clothes on from when we went to the hospital to find Andy, and they didn't look pretty. Usually Mommy has on pretty clothes, even when she's not doing anything special. The really fancy clothes from her old job she doesn't wear anymore, except when her and Daddy have date night. I like to help her pick out her outfit from the fancy clothes section in her closet, and Mommy says I have good taste. Her old job was in the city like Daddy's, but in a different office where she made commercials for TV. But she stopped working there after she had me and Andy. Now her job is being a mom and doing laundry and cooking dinner and stuff. Mimi helped Mommy sit down on the couch, and it looked like Mommy was a little kid who doesn't know how to do stuff on her own. It made me feel sad that Mommy was looking like that with her hair all mixed up and acting like a little kid, so I decided to go sit next to her, even though I still had my shy feeling, too. I didn't look at Daddy because he was probably going to get mad that I wasn't giving Mommy her space. When I sat down, Mommy turned her head very slowly and looked at me. And maybe she didn't see me earlier when she first came in, because now she looked surprised. She pulled me on her lap and put her face in my neck. Her chest moved like she was crying, and I could feel her hot, fast breaths on my neck. The breaths tickled, but I didn't move. I let Mommy hug me tight, even though she smelled different, like the hand sanitizer we have at school. I saw a Band-Aid on the inside of Mommy's elbow, or she had the see-through string going in at the hospital. And I wanted to ask her if it hurt. I said, "Mommy?" And Mommy took her face out of my neck, and then I was mad at myself that I did that, because now my neck felt cold. Mommy looked at me, but her eyes weren't looking at my eyes, but sort of over them, maybe at my forehead. "Mommy?" I said again. And this time I put both of my hands on her face, and put my face close to hers. It was like she was still sleeping, but with her eyes opened, and I wanted to wake her up gently. But then Mommy put her arms around her belly all of a sudden, and leaned backward on the couch, and made a long sound like, "Oh." I let go of her face, and I scooched off her lap, because the sound scared me, and it was probably my fault she was making it, because I didn't give her her space. "Honey, give Mommy some time, okay?" Mimi said with a very quiet voice. And she put her hand on my arm. "She needs to rest." "Come on, bud. Let's leave Mommy for a bit and let her settle in," Daddy said. And he came over to the couch to take my hand and pull me off the couch. I snatched my arm away and ran upstairs. I stood in my room for a while and I was breathing fast. I was listening if Daddy was coming up behind me, but he didn't come. It gave me a mad feeling that I was upstairs all by myself and all the grown-ups were downstairs and no one even cared about that. My eyes got the tingly feeling like right before tears come out. I didn't want to start crying, so I did the squeeze-away trick fast. And right away the tingling feeling went away and the tears got stopped from coming out. I like having my own peace in my room, but now I didn't have a good feeling. It was a lonely feeling. Lonely is not the same thing as alone. Me and Mommy noticed that together at bedtime one day. I called her back in my room and told her I was feeling alone. But Mommy said I wasn't alone, because she was right downstairs. So we realized my feeling was lonely, not alone. Lonely is when you want to be with someone instead. And it's a sad feeling. Alone doesn't have to be bad, because you can feel good when you're alone. We decided we both like that sometimes. To be alone. My room used to be for alone, not lonely. I decided to go in the hideout, because there, I was alone, but not lonely for some reason. It was starting to get cozy inside the hideout. I had my Buzz flashlight, and I brought in some pillows from the closet in the hallway that has a bunch of extra blankets and pillows, and no one ever uses them, so no one was going to notice that I took them. And Miss Russell's charm, I left that in the corner of the hideout. Every time I came inside, I picked it up and rubbed the wing between my fingers a few times. And I thought it was really nice that Miss Russell gave me her favorite charm, because it made me feel good when I rubbed it.
Of course, Clancy was there, too. I moved him in between the hideout and the bed for sleeping, back and forth. I picked him up and sat down on the sleeping bag with a pillow in my back, against the wall, and started chewing Clancy's ear. The right one, not the left, because I already chewed the left too much, and Mommy says it's going to fall off any day now. Andy always tries to take Clancy from me to throw him in the garbage, because he says he stinks so bad. I try to find different hiding places for Clancy, so Andy can't take him from me. And then sometimes at bedtime, I forget where I left him, and we have to look all over for him so I can go to sleep. I thought about how now I don't have to hide Clancy anymore, and he is going to be safe now, safe from Andy. I wondered how Grandma could know that Andy went to heaven, or his soul, because she said only good people go to heaven. Andy wasn't really a good person a lot of times. He was mostly trying to be mean to me and make Mommy upset. He did the same things over and over again that made her upset, so it must have been on purpose, because otherwise, why didn't he just stop it? Now Andy couldn't be mean to me anymore, and he couldn't make Mommy upset anymore. Right now, Mommy was sad and in shock because Andy died from the gunman. But after she started to feel better from that, she wouldn't have to be upset all the time anymore. Uncle Chip definitely went to heaven. I knew that, because he was always nice to everyone. But Andy? Grandma said the souls of bad people went somewhere else, and I didn't know where. But if Andy went there instead of heaven, then he would be with all the bad guys now, like the gunman. And that would probably be very scary. I closed my eyes and tried to find a picture of Andy in my brain. I could see his face for a short while, but it was hard to get it to hold still. "Did you go up to heaven, or where did you go?" my brain said to Andy's face. Andy's face disappeared. "Anyway, I hope you did."
15. Walking Blind.
Can I have screen time? I put my cereal bowl in the sink. Can I watch a show?
Mm-hmm.
Daddy didn't look up from his phone, and that sounded like it was a yes. At least not a no. So I went in the family room and turned on the TV. The news came on right away, and the sound was still all the way down. I was going to switch to On Demand to see if there was a new Phineas and Ferb, but then a picture came on the news. And on top of the picture there were words that said, "McKinley Killer." I was like frozen, and couldn't move at all. I stared and stared, because the picture was of Charlie's son. I knew it was Charlie's son right away. I recognized him from Charlie's 30 years party last year in school. Charlie's wife, her name is Mary like my aunt, and son, I didn't know his name, came to the party. His wife was really friendly and called us Charlie's Angels, and said we were so cute, and no wonder Charlie talked about us all the time. Charlie's son didn't say anything at the party. He just stood there next to Charlie and looked at us in a mean way, like he was mad. His face looked exactly the same as Charlie's, only not so old. They looked the same except that his son didn't smile, and Charlie always smiles. Charlie's mouth went up on the sides, and his son's mouth went down. They were the same and opposites. Charlie's son didn't even smile when Mommy talked to him. She said she couldn't believe the size of him. And did he remember that she babysat him when she was done with college, and he was 3 or 4 then? He didn't smile and he didn't say anything back. Charlie's wife answered instead, and said of course he remembered, and that Mommy was his favorite babysitter, right? I wanted to hear what the news was saying about Charlie's son, but I didn't want to turn up the sound because I didn't want Daddy to know I was watching the news and tell me to turn it off. So I kept looking at the news without the sound. The picture stayed up for a long time, and then instead of McKinley Killer, it said, "Charles Ranales Jr." So that must be his name, because Charlie's last name is Ranales. That's what his name tag says, Charlie Ranales. Then the picture changed and a new one came on. It was a picture of Charlie smiling, and it looked like the same picture that was on the big screen in the auditorium when we had his party. I really wanted to hear what they were saying about Charlie,
so I turned the volume up a tiny bit. The picture of Charlie went away, and a man from the news came on with a microphone. He was standing in front of my school and was talking to a woman I saw at pickup before. I think she's Enrique's grandma. What was your reaction when you found out that the shooter was Charles Ranales Jr., son of McKinley's very own security guard, Charlie Ranales? The newsman said into the microphone. And then he pointed the microphone at Enrique's grandma's mouth.
I just couldn't believe it. No one can believe it, Enrique's grandma said.
And she looked very sad and kept shaking her head no.
I mean, Charlie really is the sweetest guy, you know. And we all love him to death. I mean, not to death. I shouldn't have said it like that. But he loved the kids, you know, like they were his own. He's seen generations grow up at this school. My son went here, and now my grandson. Charlie was always friendly and helpful. I just can't believe his son could have done such a thing.
The newsman looked right at me through the TV and said,
Few can appreciate the irony that the school's very own security guard's son is responsible for killing 15 children and 4 staff in cold blood before being shot and killed himself by the police. Eyewitnesses tell us his father pleaded with his son to stop shooting, but to no avail.
Oh.
It was like a tiny little mouse sound, and it made me get goosebumps, because all I did was stare at the TV. And then all of a sudden that sound was right behind me. I turned around, and I found out the sound came from Mommy's mouth. Earlier, she wasn't downstairs, but now she was standing behind the couch where I was sitting. And she was also staring at the TV. Daddy came in from the kitchen and snatched the remote out of my hand and turned the TV off.
What the hell are you doing, Zach?
Daddy was looking at me like he was really mad.
You said I could watch TV.
My voice sounded like I was about to start crying. Mommy didn't say anything, she just stared at the TV, even though nothing was on anymore. But it looked like she didn't notice that.
Daddy, did you know Charlie's son was the gunman? In the news they said,
Not now, Zach. I could feel Daddy's breath in my face, because he got so close to me. He made his eyes very small, and he yelled those words at me. But he didn't open his teeth when he yelled, so it wasn't loud yelling, but scary yelling, and I got all hot and my stomach felt bad. In New York City, I saw a blind person once, a man, and I didn't know he was blind at first, and he had a really cute dog. I asked Mommy if I could pet him, and Mommy said no, because it's a special helper dog, and you're not allowed to pet helper dogs. They have to help blind or sick people. And if you pet them, then they can't do their job. And I thought it was really cool that the dog could tell the blind man where to go. And the man followed the dog everywhere, even across the street. The streets in New York City are really busy and dangerous, and I'm not allowed to cross without holding hands. The way Mommy walked back to the kitchen with Daddy looked like how the blind man walked with the helper dog. Like Daddy was the dog and Mommy couldn't see anything. So Daddy had to lead the way. I waited until tears were definitely not coming in my eyes anymore, and then I went in the kitchen after them. Only Daddy was there.
"Where's Mommy?" I asked.
"Upstairs. I had to give her medicine to calm her down. She was really upset. She's going to sleep now." I could tell Daddy was still mad at me, and that made new tears almost come out of my eyes.
"I'm sorry, Daddy. I was going to watch a show, and then the news was on, and I wasn't finished talking yet, but Daddy started talking anyway.
You shouldn't be watching the news. It's not for you. You know that. And it's not helpful for Mommy to be seeing these things. She just came home from the hospital, and at this rate we will have to take her right back. You don't want that, do you?"
I didn't want that, but I couldn't say anything, so I just shook my head no.
I didn't want Mommy to go back to the hospital. I wanted the shock to be over so she could be like her normal self. Not walking like a blind person, or only sleeping all the time. I kept shaking my head no, and I didn't stop shaking it until Daddy said,
"Okay, take it easy, Zach. This is hard for all of us, okay? Can you please find something to do for a while? Mimi will be back later, so then you guys can do something, okay?"
"Okay. But Daddy, did Charlie get hurt from his son?"
"What?
No, Charlie didn't get hurt at all. The way Daddy said that, it sounded like he was mad about that. I went upstairs and saw the door to Mommy and Daddy's room was open, so I went to the door to see if Mommy was okay. She was in her bed, but she wasn't sleeping. She was lying on her side with her eyes open. When she saw me, she took out her arms from under the covers and stretched them out to me, and I went over to her and lay down next to her. Mommy held me tight. We lay there for a long time, and we didn't talk. It felt good with just me and Mommy, and it was quiet. All I heard was Mommy's breathing. I turned around a little bit to see her face, and I wanted to say sorry I made her upset, but her eyes were closed now. I watched her face for a little while. I could feel her chest go up and down, and I didn't move at all. Then I whispered, "I'm sorry, Mommy." And I got out of her tight hug and off her bed and tippy-toed back away from the bed and out of the room. The door made a little squeaky sound. I looked back at Mommy, but she kept sleeping. Then all I could think about was getting to my hideout. I closed the closet door all the way and found the flashlight in the dark and turned it on. I picked up Clancy and chewed his ear, and I didn't stop chewing for a long time. Clancy got wet all over from my spit.
16. Red Juice Spill. I was supposed to sleep in my bed because now Mommy was home, but I got scared again at bedtime. And then Mommy told Daddy to put my mattress next to their bed on the floor. She lay down in her bed, and I lay down on the mattress, and Mommy held my hand. And that was good for me to go to sleep like that. We forgot to do our song, and when I remembered, it looked like Mommy was sleeping, and I didn't want to wake her up, so I sang it very quiet by myself again, for me and Clancy. I woke up the next morning because I was shivering. I noticed my whole mattress was really cold and wet all over, and my PJ pants were wet and my PJ shirt on one side, and I didn't get why everything was wet, but then I knew why. I peed when I was asleep. I peed in my bed like a baby. I never ever peed in my bed before, except when I was 3 and I stopped wearing diapers at bedtime. Mommy said I only had a couple of accidents then. Mommy used to wake me up in the middle of the night and carry me to the bathroom. She told me I peed in the toilet when I was still asleep. And the next day I didn't even remember it. But now I always wake up and go to the bathroom by myself. My cousin Jonas pees in the bed all the time. He's 6 too, and he's not my real cousin. He's the son of Aunt Mary's sister, so he's kind of my cousin. One time, he had a sleepover at our house, and he slept on an air mattress next to my bed. He peed all over the mattress, and Annie made fun of him and said only babies pee in the bed. I made fun of him a little too, but then I felt bad because Mommy said it wasn't his fault, and we shouldn't tease him about it. He probably peed in his bed because he was scared and missed his mom, and he was probably ashamed. And now I peed in my bed like Jonas. When I was thinking about it, my face got really hot, and I know that meant it was getting red from being embarrassed. And that happens to me a lot of times. In school it happens all the time, like when Miss Russell talks to me and I didn't know she was going to. So it's like a surprise moment, and everyone looks at me when I have to answer. When I know I'm going to say something, and I have time to think about what I want to say first, and I'm sure I know the right answer, then it's fine. But when it's a surprise, I turn red, and I call it the red juice spill, because it's like a cup of red juice spills up my neck and then up my face. I try to hide my face when that happens and wait until it doesn't feel hot anymore, and then I know the red juice spilled back down my neck. Red hot juice. Sometimes it leaves red dots on my neck for a while after. It spills back down fast most of the time, but not if someone says something about it or makes fun of me. Like Andy knows I hate it when someone talks about how my face looks red, so of course he loves to say it really loud so everyone can hear it, and he thinks it's so funny. Then it takes forever for it to go away. I thought about what to do because I didn't want anyone to know I peed in the bed. I peeked up at Mommy and Daddy's bed, and I only saw Mommy's back, and she didn't move, so she was still sleeping, and Daddy wasn't there in the bed.
I got up really fast and went in my room and took my PJs off. And that was gross because I was touching my own pee. I didn't want to put the wet PJs in the hamper because the other clothes would get wet too. So I put them in the bathtub behind the shower curtain instead. I thought about how the mattress was still really wet, but maybe it was going to dry during the day? I got dressed, and then I sat on my bed for a little while and waited for the hot juice feeling to go away. I noticed my trucks. They were still in front of my bookshelf, and this whole time I didn't even play with them one time, and they were still all mixed up and not in a row. It was weird that I was just leaving them there like that. I got up and checked in the bathroom mirror that no red dots were left on my neck. I went in Andy's room to look at his top bunk, and then I went downstairs. No one was in the kitchen, and Daddy was in his office on the phone. His office has a glass door, and when he saw me through it, he did a tired smile and pointed at the phone. I went in the kitchen, and I sat down on the bar stool. I was hungry, but no one was going to make me breakfast. I noticed the iPad on the counter and decided to play my fire truck parking game. That's my favorite game on the iPad. It's a parking simulator where you have to try to park a huge fire truck, and it's hard because you can't bump into other cars or the walls of the firehouse, but I'm really good at it. I swiped the iPad and Daddy's newspaper came on. Daddy always reads the newspaper on the iPad now, or on his phone. He used to get the real newspaper and it came rolled up in a blue bag and got left on our walkway. It was my job in the mornings to get it for him. Only on the weekends, because on work days he took it with him to work before I got up. But then he stopped getting the newspaper in the blue bag and started reading it on the iPad instead. And that always takes a long time. I wished he was still getting it delivered so I could play on the iPad. Daddy's newspaper came on, and right away I saw it was about the gunman, Charlie's son. I scrolled down and there was the same picture of him I saw on TV yesterday. I felt like I shouldn't be looking at it anymore, because Daddy would get mad at me again. But Daddy was on the phone in his office, and Mommy was still sleeping, and I didn't know where Mimi was, so no one would know. I started to read what the news said about Charlie's son. In big fat letters it said, "Killer's Motive." And underneath, in smaller but still fat letters, it said, "The act of a madman or a troubled child's cry for his father's attention." And then a lot of smaller, not fat words under that. It was hard to read, but I understood some things, like that Charlie's son brought 4 guns to McKinley to shoot people, and at his house, Charlie's house, the police found more guns, and they didn't know yet where he bought them, it said. There were pictures of the guns when I scrolled down, and a few of them looked like regular guns, like the ones policemen have on their belts, and some looked big and long in the front. They looked like army guns. Under the pictures, it said what the guns were called, and they had cool names. Under the regular-looking guns, it said, .45 caliber Smith & Wesson M&P pistol, and Glock 19 9mm semi-automatic handgun. And under the army-looking guns, it said, semi-automatic Smith & Wesson M&P 15, and Remington 870 12-gauge shotgun. I whispered the names of the guns when I tried to read them, but they were hard to say. I looked at the pictures for a long time and my heart was beating fast, because guns are dangerous, I know that, but they're a little exciting too. Except I had to think about how Charlie's son used these guns to kill Andy, and I wondered which gun it was that the bullet came out of that killed Andy. And I wondered how Charlie's son brought 4 guns to the school. And how do you even use 4 guns at the same time? It must have hurt really bad when the bullet went in Andy's body, and I still didn't know where on his body it went in. And then he died from it. Under the pictures of the guns, it said Charlie's son put a message on Facebook when he was on his way to McKinley. I know Facebook from Mommy's phone. She goes on it a lot to see what her friends are posting, and she shows me pictures and funny videos on it. She posts pictures, too. Mostly of me and Andy at sports and stuff like that. Daddy doesn't like Facebook and doesn't go on it. And once Mommy and Daddy had a fight about it, because Daddy said Mommy shouldn't post pictures of us for the whole world to see, and Mommy said, "Well, that's just a little ironic considering how much you like to show off."
This was the message Charlie's son put on Facebook. Charlie's Angels, today's the day I'm coming for you. See you soon, Dad. Pray for me. That's what Charlie's wife called us at the party. Charlie's Angels. The alarm box behind me said, "Front door," in the robot lady voice, and I almost dropped the iPad. I pressed the button on the top fast to turn it off, and I put it away. My heart was beating at super speed, and my face felt like it was having the red juice spill. Mimi came in with bags from the food store, and I thought she was going to notice right away, but she didn't. "Good morning, sweetie," was all she said, and I couldn't say anything back, only make a sound. Mimi unpacked the bags, and I watched her take out milk and eggs and bananas. Maybe she forgot that no one in our family likes bananas except Andy. Andy loves bananas, but now he wasn't here to eat them. So who was going to eat all the bananas Mimi got from the store? The bananas sat there on the counter, and I couldn't stop looking at them. In my head, I was saying in a really loud voice, "Who's gonna eat all those stupid bananas?" I was like screaming it in my head. "Stupid, gross bananas! They're all mushy inside!" And I grabbed them and threw them in the garbage. It felt good to do that. I walked out of the kitchen and didn't even listen to Mimi, who was calling, "Zach, honey, what was that for?" 17. Feelings Pages. I never knew you could feel more than one feeling inside of you at the same time, especially feelings that are opposites. I know you can feel excited, but when you do what made you excited, the excited feeling goes away and you feel happy because it was fun, or sad because it's over already, like right after everyone leaves from your birthday party. But more than one feeling at the same time, right next to each other, or on top of each other, and all mixed up inside you? I never knew that could happen. But now it happened to me. And it was hard, because when you're happy, you know you want to laugh or smile at least. And when you're mad or sad, you want to yell or cry. But when you feel all of those together, then you don't know what you want to do. I walked around the house and kind of went this way and that way, upstairs and downstairs, and it was like the inside of me couldn't settle down, so the outside of me couldn't settle down either. I walked past the family calendar in the kitchen. It made me stop. It still had all the activities on it from last week. Daddy's row is at the top, then Mommy's, then Andy's, and my row is at the bottom because it goes by age and I'm the youngest. The names were on the calendar in permanent marker. They don't get erased when Mommy erases everything on Sundays to write down the activities for the next week. So now Andy's row was going to be empty. There was going to be an empty row between mine and Mommy's. But his name would still be there. So he was still part of our family, except not really. I stared at Andy's row and what he was supposed to do last week. And he only got to Tuesday, the cross, because he died on Wednesday. He didn't get to do soccer on Thursday. For Friday it said lacrosse game, 7 p.m., in his row. I wondered if Andy's team still had the game without him there on Friday. Maybe they got one of the players who normally stands on the side of the field, and he played instead of Andy. And it was like Andy wasn't even missing and nothing changed. I started to feel mad about that, that they had their game anyway. Although, Andy plays really good and scores a lot of goals, so maybe they didn't win without Andy. Today was Tuesday, and on Tuesdays I have art at school. I love art, and I'm a really good artist. I was this close to finishing my portrait of Frida Kahlo, and it was starting to look good, like it's one of her own portraits. Frida Kahlo was a famous artist from Mexico we learned about in school. She painted a lot of colorful pictures of herself, and in them she has really big eyebrows. They meet in the middle, so it's like one long eyebrow. And she has a mustache, but she's a woman. I like to use a lot of different colors, too, when I paint. I was sad I couldn't go to art today, but I was happy, too, that there was no school. Sad and happy. See? That's opposites in feelings. Frida Kahlo died a long time ago, and she wasn't old when she died, but she was really sick. I didn't know what type of sick. Maybe cancer like Uncle Chip. She painted all the time because of her sickness and because she was lonely in her life. Painting helped her with her feelings,
Our art teacher, Mrs. R., told us that. She said art is always about expressing your feelings, and it's a good way to deal with feelings. Thinking about what Mrs. R. said made me decide to do that, too. Make art to deal with my feelings. I went upstairs and got out my big bag of paints. I got my painting paper, too, and laid it out in my room. Then I sat there for a while, and I didn't know how you make art to deal with your feelings. Maybe paint a picture of myself, like Frida Kahlo. I got a cup of water from the kitchen, and Mimi made me promise I wasn't going to make any messes painting. And I wondered if Frida Kahlo had to try to not make any messes when she was painting, too. I dipped my paintbrush into red, which is my favorite color, and I moved the brush up and down on the paper. So it wasn't going to be a picture of myself, but something else my hand decided to make. And I didn't know yet what it was going to be. A line up, and a line next to it down, and then up and down again, like a long zigzag snake. The red started out really red when I still had a lot of paint on the brush, and then it got, like, thinner when I used up all the paint, and in the end it looked like light pink. The way the snake line looked on the paper made me think about the red juice spill on my face after I peed on the mattress. So red looks like an embarrassed feeling. Maybe I could pick one color for all the opposite feelings that were inside me and paint a lot of pieces of paper with only one feeling color. And then the feelings would be separate and not all mixed up together, and that would help. Red, embarrassed. Put that paper over to the side. I thought about what feeling was next. Sad. Sad was everywhere inside our house, especially where Mommy was. Mommy was so sad, and you could feel it when you got close to her. The closer you went to her, the more you could feel the sad feeling. Mommy cried and cried all the time, and mostly she lay in her bed, and she had big red circles around her eyes from all the crying. I looked at all my paint colors. Sad could be gray, gray like the sky outside, and like the rain clouds. I washed my paintbrush in my water glass, and no water splashed on the carpet, and I painted gray all over a new piece of paper. Sad piece of paper, next to the embarrassed piece of paper. Scared. I was having a lot of scared feelings now all the time. Definitely black. That's how everything looked in the closet at school. Black. Almost no light to see the other colors. And everything is black at night, when I wake up and think the gunman is coming back. Except it's always just a dream. I made a paper black, and all black really did look scary. I had to find a color for mad, too. Mad, angry. That's a feeling you have to use your words for, Mommy says, not your hands, like for hitting. I'm mad at the gunman, I said. I thought mad, angry had to be green. Green because of the Hulk. The Hulk starts out like a regular person, with beige skin, but when he gets mad, he turns green all over, even his face. When the Hulk gets mad, he gets really mad. And he gets bigger with muscles all over, and he gets super strong. And green all over for some reason. So the color green reminds me of mad, angry. And I made a green page and put it next to the other feelings pages. Okay, so far, red, embarrassed, gray, sad, black, scared, green, mad, angry. And what color is for lonely? I thought that lonely had to be like a see-through color, so no color at all, because when you're lonely, it's like you're invisible from other people, but not invisible in a good way like a superhero, but in a sad way. But the piece of paper is white, so how do you make a see-through color on a white paper? Then I had an idea for that. I got out my scissors and cut out the middle of the paper. So there was like a picture frame around a rectangle of see-through nothingness in the middle. Lonely, see-through. I thought I was also feeling happy. I felt happy that I didn't die from the gunman. And I was a little happy because Andy wasn't here anymore to be mean to me. And I could have my secret hideout in Andy's closet now, and he couldn't tell me to get out. In the hideout, I felt good, happy. Now it was a little happy feeling. It was just starting out. But when Mommy was going to feel better from the shock and her sadness, and the bad feelings were going to go away, mad, scared, and lonely, Then it was going to be a bigger happy feeling. Me and Mommy and Daddy could be together with no fighting, and we could have fun.
What color is for happy?
Yellow. Yellow, like the sun in the sky. A warm yellow sun in a pretty blue sky in the summertime. Not the gray, sad sky we had right now. Red, embarrassed. Gray, sad. Black, scared. Green, mad, angry. Lonely, see-through. Yellow, happy. I waited for my feelings pages to dry, and then I went and got tape from the kitchen and hung them up on the wall inside my hideout. That was a good spot for them. I could lie down on Andy's sleeping bag and look at the feelings. Now they were separated, and that made it easier to think about them.
18. Real-life bad dream.
The gunman came, and real life went away, and now it was like we were in a new fake life. I was there, Daddy was there, and Mommy, and Mimi was staying with us in the guest room so she could take care of Mommy, and Grandma and Aunt Mary came over every day. And that's how you know it was different, because usually they're not all at our house all the time. Outside of our house, it looked like everything else stayed normal and the same. When I looked out of my window, I noticed that real life was still there on our street, and it looked like before. Mr. Johnson was still taking Otto for walks around the neighborhood, and the garbage truck still came, and the mailman still brought the mail in the afternoon at 4, always at the exact same time, almost. All the people outside our house did the things they always do, and I wondered if they even knew that inside our house everything was changed. The only thing from the outside that matched the inside of our house was the rain. It rained and rained, and it was like it was never stopping, like Mommy cried and cried, and she was never stopping. All the same stuff was still on TV, and they were still talking about the same stuff in the commercials, like how awesome Fruit Loops are. Like everything was how it always was, and it still mattered. I thought that maybe watching my normal shows would make it so that it didn't feel like this fake new life anymore. But now the jokes on Phineas and Ferb didn't sound funny to me anymore. And even when there was a funny one, I didn't laugh. Because mostly everything inside me felt like the opposite of laughing. I started to pretend like I was in a bad dream, and that I was watching myself walk around and do stuff in the dream. Because this was not how I wanted real life to be like. I didn't want Mommy to always lie in bed and cry. I didn't want to keep walking in Andy's room in the mornings to check the top bunk just in case. Every morning I did that. I couldn't help it. Right before I looked up, I thought, what if he's in his bed and it all wasn't real? What if he was playing a stupid joke on us, and he will sit in his bed and laugh at me, because I thought he actually died? Because it was like, pow! Like someone put his fist in my stomach every time I saw his top bunk was empty. I didn't want to keep peeing on the mattress. Last night was the second time it happened. And that's two nights in a row of peeing in my sleep. Mommy found out and had to get the wet PJs from the bathtub and the wet sheets off the mattress and wash them. She didn't say anything about it, but I got embarrassed anyway. We didn't go outside. It was like the inside and the outside were different worlds, and we had to keep them separate. Even Daddy didn't go to work, but instead he kept going inside his office and closing the glass door behind him. I didn't know why he went in there, because it didn't look like he was doing work. He just sat there and stared at the computer, or he put his elbows on the desk and his face in his hands. After breakfast today, I looked at the outside world through my window, and I wished I could be on that side, where real life was still there. At first I just saw the rain, and I watched the circles the raindrops were making in the puddles on the sidewalk. But then I noticed someone was standing on the other side of the road, across from our house. It was Ricky's mom. She was wearing only a t-shirt again, and she didn't even have an umbrella. She stood there in the rain like she didn't even feel it, but she looked wet all over. And she was staring right at our house. It was weird. She was staring and not moving, and not walking across the road to come inside. Then all of a sudden I saw Daddy walking across the street, also no umbrella, and getting wet from the rain. He grabbed Ricky's mom's arm and turned her, and they walked away down the road. After a little while, Daddy came back, but without Ricky's mom. I went downstairs and asked him where he went, and he looked at me funny and said he had to go for a walk to clear his head. In all the days after the gunman came, and that was 1 week ago, I checked on the calendar in the kitchen. More people came to visit and brought more and more food, even though the fridge in the kitchen and the one in the basement were full with food already. Today in the afternoon, Mr. Stanley from my school came. Mr. Stanley's really nice. He's only been at McKinley since when I started first grade. I like him better than Mr. Ceccarelli, who was the old assistant principal. He was mean sometimes, and he didn't give us a lot of stars, even when we were acting good and respectful. So we never got to have PJ Day in kindergarten because of him. Mr. Stanley always makes jokes and pretends like he got lost in the hallway and doesn't know which way to go because he's still new, and he gives us stars all the time. First grade probably has enough stars for PJ Day by now because we need 2,000 stars. And the week before the gunman came, we had 1,800. So by now maybe they have 2,000. Maybe they would have PJ Day without me, because I was still not going to school. And that wouldn't be fair, because I earned a ton of the stars for behaving and being respectful. Mr. Stanley didn't make any jokes when he came today, but he smiled at me and he bent all the way down to me. Mr. Stanley is very tall, that's why a lot of kids at school call him Tall Stanley instead of Flat Stanley, and gave me a hug. I liked it when he hugged me, and normally I don't like people hugging me. I wanted to ask Mr. Stanley about PJ Day, but he went in the living room with Mommy and Daddy, and I wasn't allowed to go in with them. Mimi said I should stay in the kitchen with her, but I really wanted to know what Mr. Stanley was talking about to Mommy and Daddy, so I asked Mimi if I could go upstairs, and she said yes. But then I didn't really go upstairs. I sat down on the stairs instead, and I tried to spy on Mr. Stanley and Mommy and Daddy. It was hard to hear, because they were talking so quiet, and I wished I could go closer, but then I was going to get busted spying. So I tried to turn on my sonic hearing super sense. I wanted to let you know that is a resource readily available to all affected families. That was Mr. Stanley talking. And not just affected families. I mean, everyone was affected, obviously. All the children who were at the school and had to live through that terrifying experience. But for Zach, he lived through it himself and lost his brother. I can't imagine. He must be struggling. Then Mommy said something, but I couldn't hear, and Mr. Stanley said, "Yes, well, every child responds differently, of course. And the signs of any post-traumatic complications don't necessarily have to manifest themselves right away, I believe." Mommy said something again, and it was too quiet again. So I moved down one step to hear if Mommy was saying something about me. "He is having nightmares, but that's probably normal." I felt the red juice spill starting to happen, because I didn't want Mommy to tell Mr. Stanley about how I wasn't sleeping in my own bed. "Well, thank you for letting us know. We do also have a very good family therapist, Andy's, so that's always an option too," Daddy said. "That's great. Very good," Mr. Stanley said, and then it sounded like they were going to be done talking soon and come out of the living room, so I went upstairs fast before they could see me. After Mr. Stanley left, Mommy got really tired and lay down on her bed again. I lay down with her. Mommy wanted me to, and she held me really tight and said, "Zach, my little sweet Zachy. And what are we going to do?" And she cried and cried until the whole pillow was wet, and her hair, and my hair, and more tears were coming. Lying that close to Mommy and her sadness put a big lump in my throat that hurt bad when I tried to swallow. It hurt my whole neck, and all the way up to my ears. It didn't make me feel good to be so close to Mommy's sadness, but I still stayed because Mommy didn't want me to leave. Daddy came and lay down on the other side of the bed, so I was in the middle, and he watched Mommy cry. He put his arm around us for a little while, and I wondered if that made him have a lump in his throat, too, to be so close to Mommy's sadness.
After a while, Daddy patted Mommy's head and mine and got back up and left.
19. Waking up. I didn't know why it's